Thanks for downloading the free feed of Sunday Night's Main Event. If you'd like the entire show commercial-free, please sign up to our Patreon at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
More sexual assault allegations, a world champion stripped of their title and terminated, and a COVID-19 outbreak in WWE that takes out the AEW world champion. 2020, you've done it again. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Canada's premier wrestling radio program, Sunday Night's Main Event, coming at you on TSN Radio. My name is Jason Agnew, and I have to say, it's pretty clear that the feud of the year in professional wrestling is sexual assault allegations versus COVID-19. They're fighting for all the headlines in the world of pro wrestling. So once again this week on the show, we'll have The Divide. In the first hour, I'm going to do my best to deliver a recap of all the week's news. That in itself could take me 2 hours, but I'm going to try to give you the highlights and lowlights respectively. And there are definitely more of the latter. I'll then welcome on Dave Meltzer to do a deeper dive into all of the stories of the week. And we'll cap off hour one with a couple of first-timers playing turnbuckle trivia before doing our best to escape in hour two by welcoming one of the co-hosts of All Elite Weekly, Joe Aguinaldo, to chat about what we watched on TV this week. Even though what we watched on TV may have no relevance to what we're going to watch, considering the COVID-19 outbreak. But we'll get into all of that as we continue on and get through another 2 hours of wrestling radio, a very meaty news pack, to say the least, to come. You are listening to Sunday Night's Main Event, and you're doing so on TSN Radio.
Hey there, I'm Morty Jenkinson. When I'm not coaching the offspring in soccer, baseball, or wrestling, cutting the lawn, or playing taxi, it's shirts off, Crocs on, slather on the SPF 100, fire up the barbecue, and crank up the Bob Seger, while lounging in the kiddie pool, of course. Ryan Reynolds wishes he was me. Over my dad body Pilsner from Great Lakes Brewery, now available at your local LCBO.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday Night's Main Event.
This was another exhausting news week in the world of wrestling, so bear with me here. I'm going to try to get to as much of it as possible and summarize it for you. By the way, welcome back. It's Sunday Night's Main Event. You're listening to it on TSN Radio, and we're going to dive in with some COVID-19 news in the world of wrestling. Remember the evening of Tuesday, March the 11th? Well, I'm not sure you do, because it feels like years ago. But it was just about 4 months ago. That was the night that Tom Hanks revealed he had tested positive for coronavirus, and the dominoes around the world fell. Sports were shut down. All of that happened the day after Tom Hanks revealed he was COVID-19 positive. Well, the first major domino in the WWE universe, because apparently they exist in their own universe, was the following tweet. Quote, "Man, what a few days. My show gets canceled and I get COVID. Wear your masks and wash your hands. Stay safe, everyone." End quote. That was from Renee Young. And yes, folks, it's true. FS1 announced that WWE Backstage has been canceled. Tragic times. Oh, and along with that, she has COVID-19. This was followed up with the news of Backstage interviewer Kayla Braxton and producers Adam Pearce and Jamie Noble also testing positive. Now, Kayla Braxton actually claimed that this is the second time she has gotten the virus, which, if true, is quite the revelation, since many had believed that if you get it once and have the antibodies in your blood, you no longer are susceptible to getting the virus. But apparently, the virus might be mutating. Good news for the world. Now, let's look at this logically. Two interviewers and two producers, or agents as they used to be called, have tested positive. It's not beyond the realm of possibility that with those four people and the positions they hold that involve working with so many different talents, that each and every WWE performer has now been exposed to the coronavirus. Actually, I'm saying that it is a likely scenario at this point. Now, there are tons of rumors circulating about how bad this outbreak is in the WWE. There are reports of WWE telling talent not to publicize it if they have tested positive. And we're going to kick off the next segment with Dave Meltzer talking about the ramifications of all of these positive tests for the future of WWE television tapings and all programming. But first, in what has to be the most diabolical move in WWE history, they've also managed to have their COVID-19 outbreak take out the AEW World Champion. As you know, Jon Moxley is married to Renee Young, and thus he's been exposed to COVID, prompting AEW CEO Tony Khan to issue the following statement. Quote, recently, Jon Moxley had contact with someone who had contact with someone who has COVID-19. Mox did the right thing and warned us. Doc asked him to stay home and get tested to protect us here at our test site. Cage will be in action tonight on AEW Dynamite ahead of their title fight. So that, of course, came out on Wednesday. Also, he said, Jon Moxley can be slammed on a car, crawl through tacks, and fall through the stage, but it's every bit as cool that he came forward and told us he'd had secondhand exposure to COVID. We test everyone here at AEW Dynamite, but Jon protected everyone on site like the great champ he is. All right, ending what Tony said there. Considering Mox and Young are husband and wife, I'd be shocked if he doesn't eventually test positive. But hey, I mean, I guess we can all hold out hope that they're in a loveless marriage and don't have much physical contact. I don't think we want to hope that, though. We can confirm, though, that the plan did work, as with WWE somehow perhaps infecting Jon Moxley, NXT defeated AEW in the ratings this week. NXT had its biggest rating success in over 4 months, an average of 786,000 viewers. AEW sat at 633,000. That is a huge differential. This has a Mark Andrada-level conspiracy written all over it. Okay. Oh, also, by the way, if you were naive enough to think that WWE is not monitoring AEW and trying to combat them on Wednesday nights, we know that Fyter Fest is July 1st and 8th, right? That was announced a long time ago. Well, now NXT for those 2 weeks will be NXT Great American Bash. That's if the COVID outbreak doesn't overtake the entire NXT roster before then. But, you know, we'll see what this week and next week have to offer. Okay, and now the other main news subject that is rocking pro wrestling, sexual assault allegations. A few follow-ups to last week's allegations that I reported on here on the show. It's been widely reported by various industry websites that Liguero and Travis Banks have both been released by WWE. WWE hasn't publicly announced either of the releases, but Liguero and Banks have both been removed from the roster section of WWE.com. As a follow-up to the story of Dave Lagana stepping down from his post as VP of the NWA last Friday due to sexual assault allegations, Lagana released a statement Tuesday in which he denied any incident took place and gave a timeline of circumstances in which his accuser, pro wrestler Liv Savage, stayed with him, the nature of their relationship, and what resulted in her exit. It's a lengthy statement. I'm not going to read it here. If you want to read it, it is all posted up at the Wrestling Observer website. So check it out and read it there at your leisure. Marty Scurll found himself in the news for all the wrong reasons this week. A story surfaced about the current Ring of Honor talent and a booker for an incident in 2015 where he allegedly took advantage of an inebriated 16-year-old girl. Now, Scurll first posted up a statement on Tuesday night in which he did not deny the encounter, but believed it was consensual, adding it was also legal, a nod towards the age of consent in England. Well, as you and everyone can expect, that got a lot of backlash. He then reissued the statement, pulling away from the intention in his first post and taking more responsibility for his actions, saying he failed this woman and is looking to earn forgiveness. He has identified as being part of the problem and now wants to work to be a part of the solution. This then had Ring of Honor issue a generic statement about the speaking out allegations related to talent currently working for the promotion. Quote, "At Ring of Honor, we pride ourselves on the respectful and inclusive environment we have built, one that ensures all employees can work in a place where they feel safe and respected. We take these matters extremely seriously and have a zero-tolerance policy when it comes to this type of behavior. Ring of Honor has launched an immediate investigation into the claims made against its current contract wrestlers. We will update you on our investigation once it concludes," end quote. On to Chikara we go now. Following accusations including both inappropriate language and misconduct with students that emerged due to the speaking out movement, Chikara founder Mike Quackenbush announced on Wednesday he is shutting down the company and resigning as head trainer at Philadelphia's Wrestle Factory. Impact Wrestling announced Monday night that Joey Ryan and Dave Crist are no longer with the company, while Michael Elgin was initially suspended, and then 2 days later, the company announced it was ceasing business dealings with Elgin as well. Now, Joey Ryan in particular has had a barrage of sexual assault allegations against him, and in this case, it seems where there's smoke, there's fire, and that fire looks to have burned down his career to the ground. In this week's edition of Being the Elite, they also made a statement about taking down past media featuring Joey Ryan. Quote, "Hi guys and girls, we hope this video provides an escape or maybe even makes you laugh during these tough times. We love you all. Our respect to victims, we have begun the process of taking down BTE videos which featured an accused serial sexual abuser. Our biggest regret is providing a platform unknowingly to such a despicable person. Our hearts go out to the victims and anyone else affected from the BTE team," end quote. On the AEW side of things, which of course links back to BTE, Sammy Guevara came under fire earlier this week after someone dug up some comments he made on a podcast where he talked about WWE star Sasha Banks being so attractive he wanted to rape her. That was the quote, guys. That's what he said. I'm sure you've already heard this. Sammy did apologize on Twitter, stating the following, "I've made stupid, inappropriate, extremely offensive comments in my past. In my idiotic mind, I thought I was being funny and using words and terms that represent nothing but horror and pain. I'm truly sorry for my hurtful words and actions, and I will never forgive myself. I also want to apologize to Sasha Banks WWE for my unacceptable comments. She's an amazing person who didn't deserve to be the brunt of my offensive remarks. I spoke with her earlier and she helped me learn a gigantic lesson, and I thank her for that. Once again, I'm sincerely sorry." Now, Sasha Banks also responded saying she has spoken to Guevara and they had an open discussion about the comments. Sammy has been suspended by AEW and will be forced to go into sensitivity training. Okay, back to Impact now. And this story would normally lead our wrestling news pack because it's actually about wrestling, or at least wrestling politics, and a championship is involved. Because the company has parted ways with their current champion, Tessa Blanchard, and stripped her of the Impact Championship. Amidst the coronavirus pandemic, Blanchard, who is currently living in Mexico with her fiancé, Daga, hasn't appeared at Impact's two recent sets of television tapings. Her relationship with Impact Management has become more and more tense, and things seem to have come to a head when she refused to send promos in for television. She was supposed to defend the Impact World Championship against Michael Elgin. That's not happening. But along with that, Eddie Edwards, Ace Austin, and Trey Miguel in a five-way match at Slammiversary on Saturday, July 18th. At the time of this recording, Impact has not announced what they will be doing to crown a new champion. The reason why Charlotte Flair did the shoulder injury angle on Monday night is because she is having surgery. All we know at present is that it is not actually a shoulder surgery, but that's what WWE opted to use to get her off television. Very reminiscent to what they did with Dean Ambrose years ago. Charlotte is out till at least SummerSlam, but hey, if I were her, I'd be staying off WWE TV as long as possible, considering the current climate and just not wanting to be at tapings. Also, this is apparently an elective surgery, and I'm just shocked she can even have elective surgery done in the midst of COVID-19, because getting into hospitals is not that easy, no matter where you are. Then again, if you got money and you're in the U.S., you need to get into a hospital. Yeah, okay, that's not a problem. Patrick Clark, a.k.a. Velveteen Dream, was involved in a car accident on Friday night. He was taken to hospital and released. At present, no more details are known about the collision. We'll ask Meltzer about that one coming up next. And Sarah Logan, former WWE wrestler, stated on her Instagram that she is stepping away from professional wrestling for the foreseeable future. She wrote up, "A lot has changed in my life recently, and I have stepped away from wrestling for the foreseeable future. Wrestling is all I've known since I was 17, so it's time I let myself focus on other things and explored other parts of myself." Now remember, Sarah Logan, real name Sarah Lowe, is married to Raymond Rowe, now known as Eric on the Viking Raiders. So I suspect it's going to be difficult for her to get away from wrestling in her life. And you know, if you think about the way the WWE tag division is playing itself out, currently it looks like we have Angel Garza and Andrade, who of course have Selena Vega as their manager, look to be getting into a feud against the Street Profits, who have Bianca Belair as their manager. So let's just say that that program continues, and no matter which way it goes, the Viking Raiders are probably going to make their way back into that program. Well, who would look good standing in their corner? Yeah, Sarah Logan. Wouldn't that just make sense? I think so. But hey, that's just me. That's just logic speaking, or at least my logic, which is not always good logic. I'm just tossing it out there. Little fantasy booker to end the news segment, the mighty, mighty news segment. Ugh. Not the reason why I do this show, guys, but to try to summarize it all for you. When we come back, Meltzer will join us on the other side of this break. If anything, I'm just curious about Impact and Tessa Blanchard, but we're going to first dive into COVID-19 and WWE and what this means. If all of these guys end up testing positive, how can they be hiding this? What does this mean for television coming up? How can this company stay afloat? I mean, you think about the world of sports now, and I've been covering this on News Talk 1010 on the weekends. You know, you have Major League Baseball, the NHL, the NBA, all of them trying to get back out on the field, but you constantly hear about tests and these athletes testing positive. There's huge problems. Last week, I talked about the fact that there were 8 Philadelphia Phillies that tested positive. In the situation of the Blue Jays, apparently there's someone that's tested positive, but the name hasn't been released. So that's kind of like what WWE is doing, except, you know, times 20, 30, who knows? The situation is not good behind the scenes. So what happens if they don't have talent to put on TV? Do we just pull the plug? Probably should have pulled the plug a while ago. But we will dive into that next when Dave Meltzer joins me for the Wrestling Observer Insider. Right here, it is Sunday night's main event. Back with more right after this. I just dropped in to see what
condition my condition was in. If you like wrestling, then your friends probably do too. And there's no better gift for a friend than a sweet wrestling t-shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com.
The Festival of Friendship!
From Ring of Honor, New Japan, and the Independents.
Superkick!
To classic superstars like Shawn Michaels, Andre the Giant, and the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
The cream of the crop!
Find the perfect gift for the wrestling fan in your life at ProWrestlingTees.com.
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday night's main event.
Another ridiculously busy week in the world of wrestling news. Nothing to do in the ring, unfortunately. All behind-the-scenes stuff, and not in a good way. So we turn early on the show tonight to Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter. Dave, COVID-19, our top story this week, kind of outdoing some of the assault allegations just because it's more recent, but we'll get to them. How bad is this outbreak in WWE?
We don't know because they're keeping it quiet. I mean, I think that you can watch SmackDown and see who's not on the show and the people who are not on the show that are regulars, including, you know, Sheamus and Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles, who are all advertised for the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, either failed the test or refused to, or, you know, decided they would not come to work because of the dangers. And there's a bunch of others, Otis and Mandy Rose, Sonya Deville, you know, people like that. So I don't know what the whole situation is, and nobody knows because they're keeping everything quiet. I mean, the only names that are out are the ones that, you know, Renee Young, who did it on her own, and the other ones who, I guess, you know, were given permission for whatever reason, because they did it. But, you know, and none of them were active wrestlers. And the wrestlers have been, I think the wrestlers have been told not to do, I know they have, they've been told not to say really do anything or say anything publicly. You know, I think the ones who passed may be able to say, but the ones who failed, no. And SmackDown, which actually helped the ratings, but SmackDown was cut essentially to about an hour of taping, and then the rest was just Undertaker stuff. That was a last-minute change. They put the WrestleMania main event on to fill time. And Raw, they were supposed to take two Raws yesterday, but they only taped one because they hoped that next week they would have more talent available. And so, you know, they all were also supposed to take two SmackDowns. So they were hoping next week, you know, more talent will be available so they can tape a better Raw and a better SmackDown. So they actually canceled a bunch of stuff, and they canceled some stuff for this coming week as far as NXT taping so they could tape Raw and SmackDown on those days instead.
I mean, I would look at it the exact opposite way of next week. You could have less people available with this thing spreading even more because, Dave, the ones that have contracted it and come out, even if you just look at those four, Renee Young, Caleb Braxton, Adam Pearce, and Jamie Noble.
Yeah.
Two producers and two interviewers, everyone has been touched.
Yes. And also there have been, you know, like a week before was a woman in the audience, in the stands, you know, one of the NXT wrestlers. And, you know, that's probably where the spread started, was from her. And so you've got to figure that there's a bunch of people, or at least some people, that were in the stands that probably got it. You know, so I've seen people say the number's as high as 30. I have no idea because it's being kept so quiet.
What was the WWE's opinion on Renee Young just kind of tweeting this out as she did?
They weren't happy. I know that. You know, but yeah.
Yeah, I can only imagine. So, you know, with all of this happening, Dave, can you see the point where WWE finally just shuts it down? Because they're just going to have no one to work.
It's going to have to be that they don't have anyone to work before they shut it down. They're not shutting it down. And you know, I think, you know, look, they you know, you can follow WWE's history. They're not shutting it down. Vince is making plans for live shows in front of fans right now.
Yeah, so what is that story? Because right now you look at where they're operating in, which is Florida, and Florida and Texas this past week have been hit hard and are going backwards as far as COVID-19 restrictions have gone.
Yeah.
Vince is making plans to put fans in the stands. Where does he do that? It can't be in Florida.
Yeah, they booked Lakeland, Florida, 8,000-seat arena in Lakeland, Florida, for July 24th and 27th. And now I heard those dates may be pushed back, but, you know, even as of a couple days ago, I had still heard those dates were on, you know, which would be the Friday. The 24th is a Friday for the SmackDown, and then the Monday would be the Raw. And they would be doing live shows with fans. I mean, they wouldn't fill 8,000 seats, but they would probably be at, like, you know, 2,500 or something like that.
Dave, let's flip on over to AEW, of course, with Renee Young testing positive. That also led its way to Jon Moxley, of course, being husband and wife. What is this perspective on AEW right now? And has Moxley tested positive as of yet? Because it seems like a foregone conclusion.
He has not tested positive as of yet. And he's been tested, I believe, twice this week.
Wow.
I know that his plan was, because he had talked to a doctor, that he was actually going to take at least three tests this week, spaced out. And so I know he's done two of them. I don't know if he's, I don't think he's done the third yet. But so far, so good when it comes to him. And she's doing better. And yeah, that's the status. I mean, as far as, you know, in theory, he should be taping his match with Brian Cage on Thursday of this week. And I have not heard, you know, one way or the other if that's going to happen. I mean, that's up to, you know, that's out of control of him and out of the control of, you know, everyone. I mean, if he's fine on the next test and she's better, then, you know, I would presume that he would go. And if he's, you know, obviously if he fails the test, there's no way he's going for a couple of weeks and they're just going to have to scrap the match.
Yeah, and I mean, that's interesting scenario in itself that he is still living at the house of his own house with Renee, but they're social distancing on different levels of the home, right?
Yeah, different parts of the house from what I understand, yeah.
Right, okay. All right, now if in AEW land, let's flip on over to a story that came out, and I mean, this goes hand in hand with the sexual assault allegations, but this is just words that were spoken. And Sammy Guevara, an old podcast clip from 2016 popping up, him making reference to Sasha Banks. He has been suspended. What does it look like for Sammy at this point with AEW?
He's suspended. He's apologized at least three times, and he apologized to her personally, and that's kind of where it stands. I mean, as far as what happens next, it's too early to know for sure. So that's the situation.
I kind of perceive this one as being quite different than many of the other allegations, as it is just words.
I think every one of them is different from the others. They all are. And lumping them all together is really bad, you know, and then the idea that, like, everyone who's been named, you got to get them out of wrestling. I mean, it's like, there are people who need to get out of wrestling, for sure. But, you know, not every allegation is going to be real. And, you know, there's obviously varying degrees. Someone's saying something stupid, I don't know that should blacklist them from wrestling for the rest of their lives. Someone who's, you know, and it's not defending them, it's just saying that I don't know that punishment fits the crime,
right,
considering what so many have done, who, you know, there's varying things. You know, each case needs to be handled separately and on its own merit, not as part of this, not a part of anyone who's named, you know, which, and, you know, and then there's a witch hunt that has, you know, started too, which makes it even worse.
Yeah. Let's talk about Marty Scurll. This week he came under fire, not only with the allegations, but the way he replied to the allegations.
Yes.
You know, Dave, after talking last week to you on the show and talking about what happened with David Starr and the way that he used Twitter, it surprised me the way that Marty Scurll immediately replied to these allegations without gaining another perspective of perhaps a lawyer or maybe a PR firm or something like that.
Yeah, because the thing is, it's essentially he didn't. I mean, I think that the situation is that in his mind, he's being accused of raping a 16-year-old. And in his mind, he did not do that. He believed it was consensual. But by saying that, he said that he had sex with a 16-year-old. Now, this was several years ago. He was younger, but he wasn't, you know, I mean, I think with the timeline, he was mid-20s.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't do him any favors, to say the least. And it's going to be real tough. I mean, for sure, I've got to think for sure ROH will take some action. I believe that it would be one of those things. They're in a tough position because I'm sure that they don't want to fire him. I think that they probably have to suspend him.
Mm-hmm.
But there will be heat on them if they, especially right now, if they don't fire him. So it's a really weird situation. There's some cases where companies, we've got to fire them and we want to fire them and it's the right thing to do. And there's other cases where it's just like, I think companies are just, we have to suspend them, but we don't want to throw them out forever. And that's hard because there will be a fan base that will be so negative to them for bringing them back. But maybe the company thinks, okay, it's a bad deal, but is it worth, should someone's career be over because of something that happened years ago? And I, you know, every situation's different. Like I said, it's very tough for the companies, you know, in the situation right now on how they handle it. And, as far as the guys, you know, every guy's different. And, I think that we've seen a lot of people handle it wrong. In the Marty case, like I just explained why, but by doing so, he basically outed himself for something that people won't put up with either. So it's going to be real tough with Marty right now.
There was a report just a couple days ago about Velveteen Dream getting into a car accident. Now, the last time we heard his name also had some allegations attached to it about pictures and online activity. The car accident, though, seemed to come out of the blue. Is there any more details about this? Because I could really find nothing.
I mean, it's true. I know it's true. Mm-hmm. But, it was serious enough that he went to the hospital, but he's out of the hospital, and that's really all I know.
That's a strange one. Perhaps we can touch on that next week then if we find out more details. Hey, let's do a bit of a wrestling story here. That's a novelty nowadays on a wrestling show. But with the politics of wrestling, Impact Wrestling stripping Tessa Blanchard of the title. What happened with Tessa? This is not the first time that we've heard about her and difficult behind the scenes.
This one's a weird one because essentially... It's not a confusing story, but she's living in Tijuana, Mexico.
Okay.
And so I don't even know if she can come across the border. And if she can, she probably can't get back.
Right.
And she's living with her fiance. So, you know, when this thing started, she had said that until the pandemic's over, she can't come. And, you know, at first, it's like, okay, she's going to miss a TV taping. That's fine. Then this next one, she missed another TV taping. That's not good, but whatever. Now it's a pay-per-view. And also her contract's expiring, too. Mm. Contract, I don't know the date. I've heard it's expiring this week. But I could be wrong. But I know it's expiring imminently. And they had not come to terms on a new deal, and it didn't look like they were going to come to terms on a new deal. And so... now you have this situation where you've got this pay-per-view, you want the world title and your main event at the pay-per-view, and she's not going to come. She's not going to be able to come. Even if they made a deal with her and she wanted to go like, look, I'll be fair. I'll come in. I'll drop the title, you know, because that's only fair, you know, that you've got it to drop it in the ring. But the problem is that she can't really even do that because of COVID and not being able to get back home, possibly.
Right.
So it... you know, it's, you know, this is really all COVID. It's, I mean, some people go, oh, the management's, there's, you know, how could they keep the title on her when her contract was expiring? It's it's like, you know, it wasn't an issue in March and they probably thought that she would resign and everything has changed and she hasn't been able to leave. So I'm sure they don't want to sign her to a new deal if this thing goes on for another year because she can't, if she's not able to leave. So it's one of those things where I don't blame management and I don't blame her because this is all COVID, really. I mean, if there's any other problems that have resulted, it's still related to COVID. I mean, it's like, I know that they were mad that she didn't send in a tape
right
to build up this pay-per-view, but she wasn't going to be on the show. So that to me makes her look stupid. Like you're airing promos of her, you know, for this match that she's not coming to. So that's the situation with Tessa Blanchard and Impact. I don't blame either of them right now. There may be stuff that comes out that's different, but the basic gist of the situation is that it's all COVID.
Huh. Now with this release, I mean, obviously she's in Mexico, can't go anywhere, but this is to your knowledge, a full outright release. Like she could show up if she can and work other places.
Yeah. But it's the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sign with AEW or WWE tomorrow, but it's like she's not going to be able to come in for a long time, so I don't see anyone signing her anytime soon. But at the same time, I could see, you know, I don't know the mentality of AEW and WWE because it's like, as a talent, they both should want her, but there's the baggage, and there's going to be a fan base, especially the AEW fan base, that will, I think the WWE fan base will look the other way. I think the AEW fan base, a lot of them won't, because of allegations against her, you know, the claim that she said the N-word to Rosa Negra, a Puerto Rican wrestler, which she denied.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's been out there, and it's going to, you know, it's just the nature of the beast. I think that, again, if it was a different period of time, nobody would even care. But it's, in this period of time, people care. But she's a great talent.
Oh, yeah.
So, and people will look the other way at great talents to a degree. But, yeah, it's going to be, I don't know what happens to her. You know, maybe she goes back to Impact. I mean, the whole thing of Impact was she was going to go there and, you know, not have any problems. And until COVID, she didn't have any problems. She was doing great.
Mm-hmm.
But then COVID happened. So, you know, what's going to happen next, I don't know with her.
Well, I mean, her dad works for one of the companies as well. So we can kind of keep that in mind. About Impact, with, you know, their pay-per-view coming up, there's rumors of a couple WWE talent, EC3, there was a promo or some music that was played. What about Anderson and Gallows? It seems to be that there's some news circulating or rumors circulating about an offer to them.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I know that they've gotten an offer. I'm sure that, like, you know, they were going to offer several people,
right,
you know, or try to contact as many as they can. So the date for all the people who were released in April is July the 15th.
Hmm.
And the pay-per-view is July the 18th. So they can't sign anyone until the 15th.
Right.
So, you know, it's nothing's done, but I think everyone pretty much assumes that EC3 is going to be on that pay-per-view. If not, several people that, you know, see, you know, Eric Young, it makes sense, right?
Right.
But yeah, I expect several people to debut on that pay-per-view, but, you know, no one signed today. And they can't.
Yeah. Well, that, I mean, that'll be fun and exciting if they can make that happen. So be something new, yeah. Something different. Dave, that is great for this week. I mean, I'm going to ask you what's coming up in the Observer, but I think chaos is the answer.
I have no clue what's coming up in the Observer this week. I would tell you, oh, I've got these features, but it's like, and I do. I have features written, and I have no idea when they're going to go. But, every week has just been catastrophic.
Yeah, it's every week there's just something new, and normally it's not good, unfortunately, but that's what we cover it. Dave, next week we will speak to you on Saturday. Sound good?
Awesome, yeah.
Awesome, great. Well, have a great week, Dave.
Okay, you too. Have a great week.
Dave Meltzer, WrestlingObserver.com is where you can find all of his work. As I say every week, The Observer is loaded with news of what is going on as far as all the allegations go and COVID-19 and whatever is going on backstage, and occasionally some in-the-ring stuff as well. Now, the reason why I said Saturday and why I'll be talking to Dave on Saturday of next week, I have some prior commitments on Sunday. So what I'm going to be doing is taping the show on Saturday. And for patrons, you guys get it right away. Right after I'm done editing and putting it all together, I will give it to patrons. Everybody else, you'll get to listen to it on Sunday on all the TSN radio affiliates that we broadcast on. If you want it early and the extended version, it'll be myself and bartender Dave along with Dave Meltzer. So Jay and two Daves next week. Just sign up patreon.com/SNMEradio and it'll be, boom, in your podcatcher, in your inbox on Saturday afternoon. So you get your dose of Sunday night's main event on Saturday next week. A break we shall take. We'll come back. Let's lighten things up. A little turnbuckle trivia. And then all of next hour, Joe Aguinaldo from All Elite Weekly will join me to chat about this past week of wrestling TV. And we'll talk some behind the scenes stuff as well. Because how can you not? Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
If you like Dave Meltzer interview segments, you'll love WrestlingObserver.com. WrestlingObserver.com is your place for the latest pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Subscribers have access to hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter, plus daily podcasts, including a library of over 9,000 shows dating back to 2005. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
It's time for everyone's favorite game show.
one-on-one and get it done. Sunday night's main event presents...
Everybody hands go up!
Turnbuckle Trivia.
And they stay there! And they say yeah! And they say there!
Turnbuckle Trivia time here on Sunday night's main event, and I haven't been able to say this on the show for quite a while, but we have two first-timers playing the game. Welcome you both to the Patreon, and I'm happy to have you both playing today. So let's see who is going 1-0 and who is going 0-1. First of all, we have Douglas from Toronto on the line to play the game. First-timer Douglas, how you doing?
Fine.
Good stuff. You are playing against David. David, you are in Boston. How's Boston doing with all the COVID?
It's not too bad. It's easing up. We're heading into phase three now, so hopefully better.
All right, a little bit ahead of us here in Toronto. We just went into stage two. All right, good stuff. Gentlemen, here we go. Because you are both first-timers playing this game, we will do a category very appropriate. Whoever does better gets a T-shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com, the best spot on the net to get your pro wrestling T-shirts. We are going to play the First Timers Club. All of these things about first times in the world of wrestling. Douglas, you're player one. David, you're player two. No steals. We'll see how it goes. Douglas, first question. With all of the talk of The Undertaker this past week, your question is about The Undertaker. Who was the first person The Undertaker defeated on his infamous WrestleMania streak, Douglas?
Lesnar?
It was not. No, that was well into it. It was Jimmy Superfly Snuka that he first defeated. Lesnar ended this streak. Okay, David, over to you. The Undertaker defeated whom to win his first WWF championship?
Was it Hulk Hogan?
It was Hulk Hogan. You got it. 1991. All right, Douglas, back to you. Let's go back to the first WrestleMania. Who was the first person to score a win at that very first Mania? Let's take
Hogan?
A guess from that era. What was that?
Hogan?
It was not Hogan. No, he was in the main event. It was Tito Santana. All right, David, to you. The first Royal Rumble took place in what city?
Toronto.
You're close. It was down the street. It was in Hamilton. All right, Douglas, back to you. Now, let's talk about that first Royal Rumble. Who was the winner of the first Royal Rumble?
What year was that? That would have been...
I don't even remember. I think it might have been... It's 88 or 87, I think. Yeah.
I wouldn't know. That was before me.
Okay, well, the answer is Hacksaw Jim Duggan was the winner of the first Royal Rumble. David, to you. Now, according to WWE history, the first King of the Ring tournament happened in 1985. This was before it was televised. Who was the first King of the Ring?
Hacksaw? No.
He can't win everything.
Harley Race.
It was not Harley Race. Shockingly, that's an excellent guess. It was actually Don Morocco, who was the first King of the Ring, won the tournament in 85. All right, here we go. David, you're still up 1-0. Douglas, your question, let's talk Money in the Bank. And the first Money in the Bank, who was the winner?
Was that Strowman?
It was not. It was well before that, Douglas. It was Edge was the first Money in the Bank winner, the ultimate opportunist. David, we're going to get to NXT for this next one, and we're going to go with the Women's Championship and who was the first person to lay claim to that title.
Sasha Banks.
It was not Sasha Banks. It was Paige. Guys, it's 1-0. You got one. Douglas, you have this last chance to get the tie here. And we're going to talk about NXT. The men's champion. Currently on the WWE roster, who was the first NXT men's champion?
First NXT men's champion?
Yep. Take a guess.
Hold on.
You can't hold on. Douglas, you're buzzed out on Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins.
David, congratulations. You've got the win 1-0. And that means you get a t-shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com. I will be in touch to get you hooked on Up. And you, loyal listener, if you wish to get hooked on Up, and we're sitting there smashing the device that you are listening to this on, don't smash the device. Instead, get in line to play Turnbuckle Trivia. All you got to do is become a patron and click that level. If you're at the $4 level right now, just click on Up and hit up the $6 level, which is your chance to play Turnbuckle Trivia. And get in line. I am booking up future games right now. Patreon.com/SNME Radio. We are going to take a break. We'll come back. Joe Aguinaldo will join me, and we'll get into a whole hour of talking about this week's wrestling television, which may not even relate to next week's wrestling television, depending on what happens with COVID. But we're going to talk about it like it will. Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
Right, right, you're bloody well right. You got a bloody right to say.
Thanks for listening to the free version of Sunday night's main event. Well, that was just hour one, but if you want hour two, then please sign up to our Patreon, patreon.com/SNME Radio. It's just a dollar a week. You get the full 2 hour show, commercial free, and along with that, all of our bonus podcasts that include the Midweek Markout, All Elite Weekly, Sunday Morning Trivia, and Dan Lavransky's Music Show. All of that comes to you for just a dollar a week. So go get it right now. Patreon.com/SNME Radio.